falling away. And let's talk about offenses. I'm going to give you a Greek lesson today, and that's good. It's good for you to learn a little Greek along the trail and get into the deeper meanings of what did Christ say. And when he said that, what did it really mean? You are coming into a point in the time that it's critical that you know what the falling away is and what is meant by the Greek word falling away, which comes from to set aside, a change of mind and heart. And no one, I mean, the people in this the world, actually, that believe on Christ, they truly believe on him or they would not serve him. That's why it is called in the English the falling away. And they do not fall away on their own, but basically they fall away in ignorance. Why? They listen to men. They listen to teachers. And they are guilty of not having checked them out in the Word of God. Basically, that's what this lecture today is going to be about. Your responsibilities to the Word of God. Because it is not as much the falling away that I want you to be conscious of, but offenses. That is one of the most critical sins that any individual can commit. It's offenses. I'll teach you that word in the Greek as well, and we'll go into it more in detail. I tell you this, it is a charge and a responsibility for people that claim to represent themselves as teachers or speakers in and on the Word of God. Because if you're not careful, you can offend someone. By that I mean throw a stumbling block in their path. That's why you must be very sure of yourself and the Father's calling, and secondly, that you know what you're talking about and you have proved it to yourself. Now, many people say, well, you don't understand, brother. I attended the seminary of ABCD. That is, we have doctorates in ABCD, whatever that is. And according to our good doctor, our doctor first on this hand and then on the other hand, has this to say about that subject. Well, I'm going to tell you something. What you're actually doing, and you're going to find out through this lecture, you're betting your, not your life. Your life is a very simple thing compared to your soul. But you're betting your soul on what doctor on this hand and doctor on that hand had to say. I'll bet mine soul on the Word of God. Because it is accurate when you put your time into research, when you understand the languages, because there will be not one other soul present on that great day that's coming called Judgment Day other than yourself and the living God. You're not going to be able to point fingers and say, well, dear God, Dr. So-and-so said this on the other hand and then on this hand. You see, that's why Jesus was accused of teaching with authority. There wasn't any of this on this hand and yet then on the other hand. It was straight on. Common sense. And it's important that you always anchor yourself in that Word of God. Now, let's open our Bibles if we may. Were we warned to be aware or be on guard against certain peoples in the end times? Yes, we were. Who were they? People that claimed to be preachers and teachers and prophets and all this sort of thing. And Peter was very stern about this. You'll find many other cases. I choose this one to emphasize. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm sorry. 2 Peter, let's make it chapter 2 and verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 states, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be. Now, did it say maybe? There shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, how do they deny the Lord that brought them? By being deceived into another camp, by being deceived into accepting another Lord. Do you know why most people will be surprised when the true Christ returns, and it will be at a time that they never would have expected Him? Quite simply because they're going to think in their minds He's already here. They're certainly not expecting another. That is to say, they are deceived by the doctrines of this present day into accepting the first Messiah that appears on this earth. It's not Him. So naturally, when the true Christ appears on the scene, it's going to be a jolt. The least time they could ever have expected Him, because they're not looking for Him. They're already in bed. They're already harnessed up. They're already pleased. Why? They've listened to false doctrine. They've been warned about it. It's here in the Word of God. Verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason, what reason? By reason of whom the way, what is the way? It's the path that the true Christ set before you, wide open. The way of truth shall be evil spoken of. I've got news for you. You go out in this world today teaching the Word of God chapter by chapter and verse by verse, and let the Word speak for itself, helping that you can with the translations, not adding nor taking away from the original, and I guarantee you it will be evil spoken of. You're looking at living proof of that. And when you go out to plant seeds that you have seen and absorbed directly from the Word of God, you also will be evil spoken of to a degree. Hey, does that hurt? No, it doesn't bother me. I will choose God and His Word, and the commentaries of men may fall by the wayside. Because if you are going to bet your soul on the commentaries of men as confusing in as many aspects as brought up first on this hand and then on the other hand, I hope you understand what I mean by that terminology. It means they never say anything. They simply say, well, in this case, this way. They're dogging the question. Dodging the question, maybe better said. All right? That is a doctrine within itself. Now, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words, that's fabricated, make merchandise of you. They want your soul. What will you take for it today? Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, that's back in Genesis 6, as well as the first earth age, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. In other words, he destroyed the rest. Why? They were cohabiting with those angels that left their first habitation, as it is written in the book of Jude. Children were born from those relationships, and they were called in the Hebrew tongue Geba, which is to say giants. And there were giants in the land, thus the flood. What Peter is telling you, if you don't think God will take action, and if you think some excuse of having listened to the wrong person is an excuse, you're mistaken. Because we serve a God of action, and you had better have checked it out for yourself. Because those angels, what he's telling you is they are condemned to hell. They have no chance because, as it is written in the book of Jude, they left their first habitation rather than being born of woman. If that clouds the issue, put it on the shelf. It'll keep. These two, second and third chapters in Second Peter, basically focus on one thing, and that's the returning of the true Christ. Let's skip, if we may, to the 13th verse in this second chapter. And, speaking of those angels and those that argue with Satan, bargain with him, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. That means they don't try to hide their false doctrines. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. What is a feast? You ever heard of the feast days? Religious meetings. They're going to make it right into your religious meetings. In other words, they're going to fill your pulpits even. And many people, unfortunately, being biblically illiterate, they don't know what they're being fed. Truthfully, and I speak in a spiritual sense, they wouldn't know if they were eating cake or spinach from our Father's Word. That's how ignorant they are about our Father's Word. And that's sad. In some cases, as you will discover before this lecture, it was planned that way. But for those that have eyes to see and ears to hear, it certainly was not planned that way for you. Therefore, the warnings of which we are now reading. They're going to sit down and claim to be of the same beliefs you are. But they're spots, and you better watch them, because they will dirty up your white linen. Verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, that souls not educated in our Father's Word, and heart they have exercised with covetousness practices, cursed children. That's the way God feels about a false teacher. And someone that would mingle with them, he does not have that much more thought for. Verse 18, skip to it. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, you know what vanity is? Emptiness on this hand and yet then on the other hand. Never saying anything. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. In other words, they had accepted, they had seen the truth, and they had escaped. But they began to listen to doctrines without backing them up in the Word of God. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. In other words, if you let a false teacher take the liberty that you have in Christ for your sins to have been done away with, and then to take on the knowledge that he has passed on to you and his counsel personally to you through this word, and you begin to listen to men, you become a servant of actually Satan if you want to go to the full degree. You say you saddled your, you were free and were clear. But if you start listening to the false doctrines, you'll end up right back in Satan's camp. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now hold it there just a moment. How did you escape the pollutions of the world? There's only one thing that will let you or allow you to escape the pollutions of the world, and that is through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. So stick to the Word of God. That knowledge, man cannot free you. Man cannot give you liberty. But your knowledge and the fact that God is in control, no one, no man can take that from you. It's yours. It's a free gift paid for on the cross. And many people accept that gift. And then they just sit down. They never go into the knowledge. What is knowledge? Knowledge is wisdom gained from the Word, the living Word. They grow familiar with it. They know the counsel of God, and they become servants of the living God and are not easily deceived. Verse 21, For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, not to just to have accepted salvation, then after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them, to turn away from the Word of God, and begin to listen to doctor on this hand and doctor on that hand. I'm going to tell you something. It is a sad thing, but the majority of the seminaries today do not teach from the Word of God, but teach from workbooks and commentaries put forth by man. Good old doctor on this hand, and good old doctor on that hand. What do you expect the fruits thereof to be? The Word of God? Well, you decide for yourself. 22. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed in her, to her wallowing in the mire. All dirtied up again in the mind. You would be better off to forget flesh sins totally in this lecture and think only in the spiritual sense. And you would come a lot nearer grasping the point. For this is not speaking of pointing fingers because of who fell in the flesh here or there, but we're talking about something far more serious. Your soul being beguiled by Satan himself. Here's where you're warned. Peter continues, same subject. We're going to take about three verses down into this third chapter. This second epistle, beloved, second book of Peter, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. I want you to stop and I want you to remember a thing or two, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, that you take that knowledge that you gain by listening to the prophets, Isaiah, Daniel, the minor prophets, all of them, and of the commandments of us, the apostles, that's to say the New Testament, of the Lord and Savior. 3. Now, you knowing this first, what does that mean? You can set your mind on it. You can count on it. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Oh, I want to be so important before God. Oh, I have my own ministry. Oh, you do. Well, I thought all ministers of Christ were in Christ's ministry. Well, that's wonderful. Good news, buddy. All right? My own. Let me give you my doctrine. No, I prefer the doctrine of the Word of God. All right? And saying, where is the promise of His coming? In other words, tying this with, where is this Jesus you talk about? You see, one thing that's going to make this very difficult, there's already going to be one here at a certain segment of this, and you're still going to be saying, uh-uh. This is a fake. And the others are going to mock you, and really mock you at that time. Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. In other words, where is He? Well, we know where He is. And He touches many of you. And you know that. What is the subject? The subject is deception, my friends. Being deceived. How intelligent are you? And there will be some that will say, you don't understand. The Holy Spirit protects me. Don't be stupid. The Spirit will protect you, yes, as long as you absorb the knowledge that will allow you through the Holy Spirit to escape the pollutions of this world. Otherwise, you're going to be polluted. It takes the not. Well, how do I? I'm not too quick at catching on to things. Don't worry. The Word of God is very simple. Anyone can understand it. A child can understand it. If men will say straight on what it says from the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit touches the mind and opens it to the truth. And then only, because just to say you're saved won't cut it, friend. You're still in pollution, because there's a time coming that He is warning about that you're going to drown. And there's something far worse than that. If you're not careful, you will become an offense yourself. We'll be talking about that in a little bit. Am I trying to frighten someone? Trying to frighten anyone? Uh-uh. I just want it set and sealed in your mind from the Word of God what's going to happen in the very near future. Because we are living in those times. Now, concerning the falling away, there's only one place that we can find out what is this about his coming. How do you expect him to come? Well, some say, oh, he's coming in the clouds. Yeah? Oh, okay. What does that mean? Well, he's coming with a cloud of angels, meaning a large group, saints, when he does come, the true Christ. And then there are some that will say, and we're going to be gathered up to him. And we're going to meet him, and he's taking us out of here, and then all things are going to break loose. Well, let me ask you a question. If you go, let's call the rapture. Let me ask you one question. If you're one of the saints, and if you're God's elect, why is it that in Mark 13, Matthew 24, Luke 21, the elect are still here when the Antichrist is here, doing their work, working for the Savior? Who did you go with? Who did you fly off with? Have you been listening to false doctrine? Well, I don't know. Well, you better wake up and find out, because you're living in that time where you're going to have to make that decision. And he that comes is very impressive, very persuasive, very beguiling. After all, he did beguile Eve. So, let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Let's go to chapter 2. I could give you scripture after scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. But go on to Thessalonians. I can just tell you there are many places in the New Testament that you are warned of that deception, of that beguiling. All of you could quote this from heart. I'm just really, there would be very few in this room that could not quote the first six verses of this particular chapter, Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, by heart. But we're going to do it again to synchronize that is. Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. Now, I want to ask you if that is a difficult statement. Is that difficult to understand? I want to talk to you about when Christ actually returns to this earth, and we're going to gather back to him. Now, you have two ways you can go on this. You're either going to fly away, and the SWAT team's going to get you, or a little humor, to me it is anyway, the flyaway boys, there's a big guy with a big fly swatter that's going to be the SWAT team. But anyway, be that as it may, the subject is the return of the true Christ to this earth and our what? Our gathering back to him. Now, that isn't difficult to understand. Any child in here could read that verse or sentence and tell you what it says. So I don't care what you've heard from man, believe the word. All right? Verse 2. That ye be not soon shaken in mind. What does that mean? That you don't get your little old mind all messed up. Or be troubled. In other words, if you listen to this, you don't even have to worry or be troubled. Neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. He said, I'm going to tell you exactly how it's going to be. Let no man deceive you by any means. Now, beloved, they're going to try. They're trying it every day, if you want to know the truth about it. Every day. By television, by church, you name it. Trying to deceive the world about the coming and our gathering back to Christ. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Now, what did that say? Christ is not going to return to this earth until after or except there come a falling away first. What does first mean? I mean, let's really get this down to the nitty-gritty. Well, first means first. You got it. That's exactly what it means. There cannot be a return of the true Christ to this earth until after the falling away. Do you know what that word is in the Greek? Apostasy. What does apostasy mean? In the Greek word, it means to worship another god, to fall away from the Christ you now serve. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, Apollyon, right from the prime root of one of Satan's name, Apollyon in the Greek. There is only one entity that has already been sentenced to perish, which is what the word perdition means, and that is Satan. Yeah, there were a few angels, 7,000 of them, but don't worry, they don't even count in this game. They're already finished. Satan isn't. Well, really, neither are they. They're coming back. Oh, are they pretty? Anybody want a date? All right. Verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God? What is it he does there now? Well, he claims to be God. He claims to be more important than God. He claims to be the God of gods, King of kings, Lord of lords, Governor of governors. Above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God, citizen, the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. Now, well, that doesn't seem too bad, Brother Murray. I mean, after all, we can see that. Well, now, wait a minute. Paul has made it very clear exactly the chronological order of events. If you were to go into 95% of the churches in this nation today, do you know what you would be told? We're going to fly away before that great day of tribulation of Antichrist on earth. We're going to be gone. Do you know what I call that? A seducing spirit. Because it's a lie. And it's a lie that will cause souls to fall. Because the Bible, we just got through reading it, that a child can understand, states, the false Messiah is coming to this earth first, and don't you let any book, any author, any man, or any spirit tell you otherwise. He's returning to Jerusalem claiming to be Christ, claiming to be Jesus. So what are you going to say to these folks that say, we're flying away, just believe and wave bye-bye at the world, right? You are so wonderful and so fortunate, say bye-bye, just know you're saved and that's all you do is sit around. You don't have to worry about understanding the knowledge of God's book of Revelation or any other book. Do you know why you're going to be gone? False doctrine. A lie that will deceive souls into worshiping the false Messiah. False doctrine. A lie that will deceive souls into worshiping the false Messiah, thinking he is Christ. Well-meaning, yes, many of your own relatives will do this, as much as you love them, thinking he is Messiah. But you must be a champion of your people. And you must stand against that false one when he appears, because you are one of those elect that is written of in Revelation 13. Now, what can we say of folks that teach this? And I'm only using that as one doctrine, because you're all familiar with it, the flyaway doctrine, all right? What are they doing and what is their penalty? What will happen because of this? Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Let's talk about the kingdom of God for a moment. And incidentally, I chose to teach this from the New Testament. I could have taught the same sermon from the Old Testament. It says the same thing in the Hebrew manuscripts. Chapter 18, verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And of course, what's in their minds is, which one of us is going to be the greatest, all right? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. Do you know something? You must always, when you're teaching God's Word, bring it down to the simplicity that a child can understand it. Because of the blockage and mindset of the world, you must do that or it will not be understood. One of the meanings of this. But secondly, if you're a parent, I don't care what you tell your little child in a serious way, that child's going to believe you. My daddy and my mama said so. It wouldn't matter if they told that child that this is really night and people are wrong. You know, when it's light outside, that's night. The child would believe it. You see. So what Christ meant is you must believe what I say. You must believe the Word of God, both the old and the new. 3. And said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." You must take the Word itself and study from your own father, your spiritual father, and absorb that Word and not forget it. Verse 4. "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Because he's going to be doing exactly, he or she is going to be doing exactly what the Father would have them to do. Say, "Use me. I will serve you." 5. "And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." Why? The Holy Spirit is there. Now, what about these people that would deceive? In other words, we have a small converted soul, very young in the Lord, maybe, let's say, 2 months saved in salvation, very humble and listening attentively, carefully, and they hear some false doctrine. Listen carefully. "But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me," which what? "Believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." It would have been better had he not been. What is that word "offend"? Let's go one more verse. 7. "Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." I want you to learn this Greek word. I want you to learn it real well. I don't want you to ever forget it. It's the base of where our word scandalize comes from. It's scandalon. I want to talk about that word a little more than that, because I want you to understand the danger that a man or a woman that teaches false doctrine stands in. It would have been better they'd never been born. And when you pick up a doctrine and you begin to espouse it, you'd better know what you're talking about. Scandalon is a very strange word, and you have to take it all. I want to take it all the way back to the prime. Have you ever seen somebody? We're going to catch a rabbit, all right? We get an old box and we get a stick. Now, the word really came from stick. And we put that stick under the lip of the box and we tie a string to it and we get over here and hide. What is that stick? It's the trigger. That is scandalon. The trigger that snares the traps. The trigger that catches the prey, that deceives the soul. False preachers are scandalon in God's eyes, and they'd better put a millstone around their necks and jump in the ocean, because God does not like it. Now, what about rapture doctrine? Hey, I'm glad I'm not judge. I'm sure glad I'm not judge. Am I saying God will throw them all in the ocean? I'm not saying that at all. I just want you to see this word, scandalon, the fact that Satan could even use you in well-meaning for a trigger to ensnare and cause an innocent to lose their soul, to be deceived. To lose the soul is a little heavy, but it's still flirting with it. So what do we say about people that teach the rapture doctrine? Well, I don't know what to say about them. I guess I've said everything that can be said about them on television and around the world and everywhere else. I would never teach them this lecture because it would not be received and I would be called many strange names. But be very careful. There are many other doctrines other than rapture that are damning to God's true word. And you can fall into one of those traps wanting to be important, wanting to be exciting, to change the governments of the world. I thought you were a priest. I thought you wanted to do it God's way. What I'm telling you is you can lose, my friend, and be like a big old fowl. Return to her own wallow after in Christ's blood you were all cleaned up for being a dreamer, a chaser of flies, of excitement. Yeah, many would say, well, you just teach that old Bible over and over and it's the same old thing. There's nothing new under the sun and it never gets boring to me. And I always learn new things, and if you were called of God, you would too, every time it's taught. When someone tells me it's the same old thing, I know they're dead. Spiritually. Dead. Deader than a hammer. And I feel sorry for them, but I never reply. Neither do I point out new materials. If you can't catch it for yourself, solo me. God would like for you to, or he would like for you not to. But the important thing is this, and I'm certainly not saying Arnold Murray is perfect or using myself as an example other than that. Do your best, but know your material. And I'm going to tell you something. If your material isn't written in that word, if I were you, I would tie a millstone to it, and I would drop it into a fiery furnace instead of jumping into it myself. There is one word, and that is the Word of God. And only that knowledge of that word will prevent you from committing scandalon, which God says. You might as well give it up, friend. Because you're going to drown. He will. And there's a many of them. You know what? There's a lot of them going to show up that day and say, oh, sweet Jesus, I preached in your name for 30 years and I don't know how many souls I've saved. And Jesus will probably say, well, that's funny. None of them ever came over to me. What have you done with them? You know? Because man doesn't save souls. Christ does. And then he's going to say, you have committed scandalon. You get out of my sight. I never knew you. Why? If people teach junk like that, naturally Christ doesn't know them, doesn't want to recognize them. If it was taking the little children, understand, put yourself in that position. That's why God looks at it that way. He has little children down here, and we are all very little, small children mentally compared to our Father and those with spiritual bodies, because we only have about 9% use of our faculties. All right? I didn't say we were all nuts. I said in the flesh body you can only use about 9 to 10% of your remembrance and recall unless God gives you a special touch. And compared to them, we're all little small children. And here you get these people that want to be important. And listen to dear brother doctrine on this hand or not on that hand. And form a religion. It's contrary to the Word of God, and it is a very dangerous thing. Okay, let's continue on there a few verses. Offenses. Write it in your margin. Scandalon. S-K-A-N. D-A-L-O-N. And don't ever forget offenses. Because those offenses create stumbling blocks. And scandalon is, in a sense, a stumbling block. And it is true that Christ himself shall become a stumbling block. For what reason? Because people will think the false is him, and because of what little knowledge they have, very little, they shall stumble. Verse 8. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. You know what happens to those that continue committing scandalon? They're going into the lake. But what does that mean? God created our flesh bodies. He likes them just the way they are. But what he's talking about here is a many-membered body. All right? You form an association, and you have a church over here and one over here and one over here. Now, this one is the hands and that one's the foot, and it all makes up the whole body. But if you have, as is illustrated here, a foot that offends or what? What is it? Offends? Scandalon. Becomes a stumbling block and is teaching falsely and is causing God's little children to stumble and even a chance of going to hell, the lake of fire. You better get rid of it. You better cut yourself off from that church. Because it's better that you have a many-membered body that's going to have participated in the victory rather than allowing that dump, that hogwalla, that dog vomit to slime up the rest of the body. Jesus has a way of teaching that I think it's kind of gross myself, but to do a good job, you got to do it, right? And so that we don't get bored and kind of fall off the rocker here, all right? He said, that's what you're doing. Now, we've had people, you've read of them, where people get all drugged up, and he says, pluck your eye out right here. Plucko, you know? People even trying, you know, because of ignorance, not understanding the many-membered body. I hope, beloved, you can see the seriousness of what I'm trying to say. And for this reason, why? That we must take the truth and the knowledge of God to remove people from pollution. Verse 9, and if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, Gehenna in the Greek. You better cut yourself away from that group. Sure, no one likes partings or what have you. God's in control. But you better be careful who you associate with. Or, hey, check out, friend. You know, check out. Go ahead. If you like Gehenna that much, go ahead. I prefer to have God's blessings and have him bless the ministry. All right? Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven there are angels, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Every one of them has an angel. And if someone offends one of them, that angel has God's attention, and there'll be a curse or a correction come against that one that touched the apple of God's eye, which is to say one of his anointed. Think about it. Scandalon. Like to play games? Or do you love the Word of God? Think about it. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. There's no way you're hardly going to get one of those sheep out of his hand that are especially the elect. How think ye? What do you think about it? If a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? Yeah, he does. That's God's elect we're talking about now. And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father. I want you to listen carefully. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And that's what scandalon will bring about. Now, never overlook this one thing. I don't want to leave you with that note. What about the people that are in these churches that teach scandalon according to the Word of God? I'm not judging them. Mind that. God's elect can go anywhere they want to go. But I want to tell you and share with you a great part of the reason thereof. Romans chapter 11. We're going to conclude this very, very soon. Romans chapter 11. Some of these people, there is no way that you can get them to observe the knowledge of God for a very special reason. You're all familiar with Romans 11. It's where God has said through Elijah, I have set aside 7,000 that will not bow a knee to Baal and will not be deceived. But that's not what we're coming here. Verse 8. According, Romans 11, verse 8. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber. There's nothing you can do about it. Eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And I say to you, even unto this day, you could preach until you were blue in the face, you could reason, you could beg, you could simplify. As an example, there is no way that God's Word could put any simpler than it is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I could take any child in this room and they could do a real good job teaching that chapter. It's that simple. But if someone is blinded to it, forget it. That's why you're to plant a seed and then walk away and leave it alone. Don't blame them. God Himself sent the stupa, that's what the word in the Greek is, upon them. It's not their time yet, so don't worry about it. And David saith, let their table be made a snare. There's that old, what does a snare have? It has a trigger. It has a twig. Scandalon. He that triggers the trap. And a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them, let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Did God just do that just to say, fall, I don't want you? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. And now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? In other words, through Christ, the Gentiles attain salvation also. Many people of Israel are blinded today. Those that became as numerous as the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea, that they cover the world, can no longer see. So don't blame them. Don't turn into a judge because of scandalon. All right. But you had better check out what you put out and what you repeat. And you better have checked it out in the Word of God. For there are people that can be offended. And offended does not mean like, oh, did I hurt you? I didn't mean to say that to hurt your feelings. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about false doctrine. Because people think your credibility is A-OK and trust you, that you would pass on garbage. Hogwalla. I won't go through the whole thing again. All right. It's bad. It's a heavy trip, my friend. And don't think that their angel doesn't know it. You start passing around garbage, and I guarantee you one of those angels will get God's attention, all right. And you're going to be getting a little correction quicker than you can say 6 weeks. It's a very serious thing. So why did I read those particular verses? Be patient. Don't be judgmental. Be humble. And don't take the attitude, oh man, I'm glad that's not me. All those miserable rats can't see a thing. They're blind, you know. Don't ever take that attitude, beloved. Because by the grace of God, you know what? There you go, right there, see? So, everybody earns their place, whether it be in the world that was or the one that's coming. Now that I have said that, though, always remember this. Well, does that mean I can go into a church that teaches the rapture? Well, are you a coward? You can't blame them for their ignorance. Is there anything wrong with you going in there? Well, I hope you're not that tender, because you know what the situation is. You know that many of them are blind, and they're your brothers and they're your sisters. And do you know what? It was for their sake that God's elect were even sent to this world. So if you were to put yourself above them, you wouldn't be worth a plug nickel, because it was for that reason you were sent. Let's go to the last chapter in this book of Romans, and I'm going to close out this lecture. I think the point has been made well. And though you can go there, never, never, never forget these two verses I'm about to read to you. Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. And with that, we conclude. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them. Did it say judge them? No. Mark them which cause division and offenses. You know what that word offenses is? Tell me. Say it. There you go. There you go. Contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Now think about that. Well, I'm saying it's all right to go there, but when it comes to you sharing, absorbing false doctrine, you better, if you're not strong enough, you'd be best to avoid it until you become strong. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. In other words, they're on an ego trip. They want to be important, pass around stuff that's sensual or whatever. I think I used the wrong word, but be that as it may. Sensationalism, all right? All right. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. That's exactly true. And they do. Because the simple can be deceived very easily. Nothing to get on an ego trip about. You don't have to worry too much when you know you're in our Father's service, and when you do your homework, and when you teach His Word and not your own, and when you are educated from the Word of God rather than doctor on this hand but yet then on the other hand. All right? Never making a stand. Learn from God's Word, and I'm going to promise you something. You can count on it. And something else, God will always bless you if you make that stand. You're looking at a ministry that is a perfect example of that. Because by all standards of the so-called church world, we shouldn't even be here. And we're the strongest growing church in the world. And our platform exceeds every television ministry in the United States of America. Why? Because God's Word is taught here, not mine, not yours. It's hard to realize that miracle has happened. Do you know why? The blessings of God. Man doesn't do it, but the Holy Spirit. When you will be true to our Father, then He brings forth those blessings. Oh, I tell you this, Be careful, my friends. Be very careful. Your mind, with the knowledge of God, is able to filter out that that is not of God. But don't ever wake up, not one day, without turning your filter on, all right? Because you're going to get it from television, media, people. Turn the filter on. Am I saying you have to be afraid? I would hope not. You should know me better than that. God's children are can-do type people. We can go anywhere we want to without worrying about some little negative thing falling off on us. And we can help others when the time is right and when they need it. And most of all, we can be a voice in this time when God's Word is needed so desperately and is changing lives like never before, is growing at a pace that is changing lives and giving people hope, young people, old people. And it's wonderful to be situated in the center of the blessings of God. Center of the world? Yeah, the center of God's work. No, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying this is it. I'm saying He is it. And I love Him for that. He's sure good to us. I love Him for that. We are living in a polluted world. I'm going to recap this just briefly. We are living in a polluted world. Were we supposed to? Yes. Never try to remove yourself from this world. For as Jesus stated in St. John chapter 17, Father, they are not of this world, but they are in this world. Take them out of the world? No, Father, but protect them whereby they can take the word forward that they were blessed by, that they may be a blessing to others. So remember that. You're to be a blessing to all and a judge to none. And thank your Father for His word. All right. Father, we thank You for Your truth, Your word, and Your blessing. Be with each and every one. We ask it in Yahshua's precious name. Amen.